What's happening? What's good, though? It's your boy, Idriff. And today we have two amazing guests, Cam and Joe of Corner Slice Pizza. If you've checked out my Instagram recently at What's Good, though, you may have seen a semi-viral video. And I'm talking about like viral for me, of a pizza showing the nice undercarriage. It is sexy. It is a beautiful New York style pizza. Joe and Cam's version, no flop, all delicious. And that's who we're talking to today. And honestly, I'm super impressed with this couple. They run a 1500 square foot pizzeria by themselves, day in and day out, no freaking help from anyone. Cam has a background in luxury retail and Joe has a background in restaurants. And when they moved here from Guam, they had their heart set on starting their own business. And they talk about the struggles of getting to that point when they finally make that jump. We'll actually be starting the podcast with a clip from a different podcast called TTG Through the Grapevine. They're local podcasters in Livermore, California. And so make sure to go check them out. I'm gonna link all of their info in the show notes. They give a great background on Joe and Cam, but I specifically want to start this podcast with a clip from their show talking about Joe and Cam's experience buying a pizza oven just to set the stage. We'll then talk about what it was like getting started in this pizzeria, what they had to go through to sign the lease, and last but not least, we talk about what it's like to be a husband and wife team, just the two of them. Because that, as you can imagine, can be pretty difficult. This is an amazing episode, so sit back, relax, and enjoy the show. And remember to always ask, what's good dough?
Yeah, it was even a pain in the ass to get it in the shop too.
No, I bet.
Because it was in this truck where they loaded it and...
Yeah, so we did a carrier website and they guess they like outsourced to small companies. It's a cheaper price for us. And then, so then it comes here and it's there like a week after we got it. It's there sitting in the street, and I'm like looking at it. I'm like, okay, how are we gonna, we'll just roll it down. He's like, no, you need a forklift. I'm like, what? He's like, no, the ramp can't put it on. I'm like, how did they put it on? And he's like, oh, they had a forklift. I'm like, I don't have a forklift.
That would have been some valuable information yesterday.
Yeah,
he just texted me. Yeah, 6 a.m. or 7 a.m. Yeah.
6 or 7 a.m. And then
just fucking.
He's like, it was already 2 hours. I'm like thinking, I'm like looking online. I'm like, where to rent a forklift? Oh, I need a license. Oh, forklift class. I'm like, no, like, he was waiting and he's like, dude, I gotta go. I got other deliveries.
Ooh.
I'm like, this oven is not leaving here. It's here. Yeah. It's not leaving.
Yeah.
So we walked around to, I think there's a, you're I'm familiar with Crisp? We found them and there was like one guy in the warehouse. I'm like,
did you literally walk over there? And no, you're like, yeah, I would have.
Yeah, and then,
save us.
Help, I was help, like, help, can, help, you, help. Can we use your forklift? He's like, I can't. It's too old. It's just for the, it's a small
rusty.
Warehouse. Yeah, it's rusty. The wheels are old. He's like, we can't bring it out. I'm like, okay, maybe I'm, at this point, I'm like thinking, maybe I'll give up, you know, just come try another day.
Yeah.
And I'm looking at the oven, I go back and I'm like, okay, maybe if he brings the forklift there or brings the oven there, that he brings the truck to their warehouse. So I go back, I ask the guy, if he brings it here, can you take it off for me? I just need it off the trailer.
Yep.
And he's like, yeah, man, okay, I'll help you out. So we're like, yes. So he brings it there, we get it situated and then he takes it off the trailer and it's on the ground already. Mm-hmm. And he leaves and we're like celebrating. Yeah. And then I'm like, okay, now we're like a quarter mile away from the shop. With a 1,000-pound oven on the worst casters you could have.
Yeah.
The worst plastic casters that you can freaking have.
Oh, man.
On gravel. And I'm like, okay, now. And then my uncle's there like, what are we going to do? I'm like, got to start pushing, man.
We pushed out like a quarter mile. It took us an hour and a half.
Oh, my God.
We're going that speed. Mind you, the whole time, the entire time, feeling like it's going to tip over.
Oh, my God.
Look at the casters on this. A 1,000-pound oven. Look at the casters on my cheap fridge.
Oh my goodness.
They worked out that day.
So it was shipped with those casters on?
It's original casters on it.
Fuck. Yeah. That's crazy.
And I have to put this toe strap. Because you'll see here, you want to check it out, there's a little bit stress fracture here. Mm. So when we got it, because the way they secured it on the toe, on the trailer,
yeah,
they toe strap each leg away from each other. So in transit, it would move pulling. So when I got it, it was a little bit like that. So I had to tie strap them together.
Oh shit, to keep it, to hold it, yeah.
Yeah, no, it's not gonna break. It's just a little bit weak.
Extra support.
Yeah, extra support, so.
And you got this first. You got this oven for $15,000.
Yeah.
Original MSRP is?
This exact model, I don't know, but you're looking anywhere. The one when I got quoted for a 932, which is slightly bigger than this one. That one with installation was gonna be like almost $50,000.
Sheesh.
That's shipping, freight, installation.
And you found this pizza oven on Craigslist. And you drove down to LA within that same day. You thought about it for a little bit and it was still available. It was almost like it was meant to be.
Almost, dude. And then the hard part was dropping 15 G's on an oven that I can't turn on. Like, I can't, it's not gonna turn on. I'm like, I just don't. It was, I knew the guy was legit. Oven was like brand new. You just, a part of you is like, but you don't know. You just still don't know.
Brand new or lightly used?
2 weeks old.
2 weeks old.
Yeah, there was like no markings on this oven.
So you found this steal of a deal. You caught it. You copped it and didn't really know if it was gonna freaking work. But you know, you had faith.
Yeah.
The guy seemed legit. He stored it in a car lot that had a bunch of rare cars.
Yes, dude.
And you were like, I trust this guy.
Yeah, I had to get a feel. I'm like, I don't know if it's like, maybe they're just borrowing the place for an hour. I'm like, we'll be there for like a couple hours. I'm like, okay, this is their lot. And then the owner of the lot was taking my uncle around, turning on the cars, like, check us out, because he loves cars. I'm like, okay, this is pretty legit. And not just this, he had a Doyon. He had a bunch of bread equipment, dude. He just wants to get rid of it. I'm like, I just need this, dude. I just need this. He even had a Lloyd Pants. I'll let you know. I'll check if he still has it. He wants to get rid of it. He's like, make me an offer. I got like 100-something pants.
There it is.
No, yeah. I'll check if he still has them, but... Yeah, we found the offer. So, oven, freight, and installation. Freight was $1,200. Installation was $3,000 on the dot. Sorry, freight was... $1,200, yeah, installation.
Freight is transferring it from LA to where you picked it up.
Sorry, $900.
And then electrical, installation was electrical, basically? Yeah,
$3,000. So they just ran the, well, we got lucky. So another thing, too, was that he was telling us these panels each are like 1,000-something, so $2,000. He threw in the panels already because it was connected. So that really helped us. It's the breaker panels because each one requires its own. Mm. And then they just ran it through. Originally, after I bought it, I already started messaging our electrician and asking him, would it work? He's like, yes, it would work. He recommended a booster because it's not going to get the full voltage. So I was worried about that. He did more reading. He opened the panel here and he read the thing. He even called Pizza Master. And he's like, so from what I've gathered that it's the only problem is going to be heating up. You're not going to have any problem with cooking. But the time it takes to heat up is... Because he said even Pizza Master, they said they weren't sure.
It just takes a while for it to heat up all the way.
Yeah, the stone. That's why.
So the recovery time isn't as
recovery
good.
Recovery time is a little bit longer.
And not even as, even like when you're turning on the oven from cold?
45 minutes. Versus, a normal Pizza Master is 30 minutes.
Okay.
25 to 30.
So there's like a little bit of a difference. But for making it work in the space that you have without having to get new permits, being able to get a used one...
If you want to call it plug and play, which we did, it works amazing.
Yeah.
It works amazing. And the only drawback right now is because it's not getting enough power, so it loses a bit more power when I have my mixer on at the same time.
Oh, got it.
So I have to turn this off. I noticed that in the pies. I don't know if I'm right, but I noticed like if we close from 2 to 4 and I leave this on while I mix from 2 to 4.
Yeah.
And it come 4 o'clock.
Yeah.
They're a little bit lighter.
I guess my question for you is like, if someone were to go through this similar process of wanting to buy a used oven, what's something you would say to them?
Well, first, your style of pizza. It always comes to your style of pizza. And then your concept. The reason why I wanted this was because of our style of pizza. And the big thing was the turnaround. So, I mean, now you have Forney, but... Compared to like gas, the turnover, and I can crank out more pies out of this that look great than a gas oven.
So finding out what your end result is
for your pizza.
Finding that oven.
And then even at that, you might not get that. Let's say, oh, so I'm doing Roman. I'm going to get this oven. Yeah. You still might not be able to get that oven. Get whatever you can close to that oven. But exhaust every route.
Mm.
Every route. eBay. try 10 leases, exhaust every route. If you know you want
10 leases, is that another website?
No, no, like 10 different leases.
Oh, okay. Because,
you know, company, different leasing companies.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Try them all.
Oh, leasing like, an oven instead of buying it
if
outright.
If you know you want that, if you can't afford it. I'm speaking on a budget perspective because we were trying to lease it originally.
Yeah.
Because we didn't want to drop 15 Gs. It was like, that was a big dent in our...
But then you would be leasing, what, 30 Gs? Something like that?
Yeah. But we didn't want to deplete everything because we wanted to set up for the long run as much as we can save for when our lease... Because like our lease was like, we got 3 months free. And if we opened anytime within that, then our rent kicks in. So we tried to put appropriate X amount for when we open. Because you already know it's going to be slow. You got to be prepared for 6 months to a year. So we were prepared for like a couple months. If we didn't pay for this, we would have had like... We could have had a half a year saved. But I mean, we did what we had to do because I wanted this oven. It was in... It was presented to me. I had the money. I was just like, are we willing to spend it? Is it... That's when it really kicks in. Like, is this... Okay, now... Is it actually a good purchase? Because I'm ready to buy it. I'm like, now I really start to evaluate. I pictured my procedure. I pictured cooking in it. I would open it. I like go like this. I look at it, double decks. I was looking at it as if I was making pizza. Even if I wasn't, let's say I didn't have the money for this, or this was never popped up for sale. I found a coupon. I found a coupon on Marketplace that popped up. Right before, the day before we left to get this one, I saw a double deck coupon for 12K. But I know it was no Pizza Master. So I was like, okay, I had a plan B and plan C. Coupon was my plan B. Plan C, I was just going to get, I would have saved a lot of money. Just going to get a Baker's Pride.
Yeah, and nothing wrong with...
Nothing wrong with those.
Nothing wrong with secondhand, you know.
Oh.
Or just outsourcing somewhere else.
Someone out there, hey, another man's... Trash is another man's treasure.
Well, that's really what I wanted to hear about. Because, like, if you're getting your start or if you're looking to expand on the cheap, right?
Yeah.
A second-hand oven might be, like, the move.
It is, man.
Yeah. But, like, we also want to prevent people from fucking up where they can't.
Getting bad deals. So getting jacked up ovens. That's one thing. So it's, like, a lot of due diligence.
What did you have to do then? I mean, you didn't... Did you know what you were looking for? I mean, you got lucky and saw that it was 2 weeks old. But
the thing was brand new already. The baker's, the coupon looked freaking
banged
up. The coupon had miles on it.
Yeah.
And it was only 3K less than what this. I was like,
so take that into consideration.
Take that into consideration. If you have every opportunity, be more skeptical if it looks super used and it's, you can't test it. I probably wouldn't. If it looks super janky and I'm not able to turn it on, I probably wouldn't have bought it. No way.
Yeah.
This thing looked so shiny. So shiny and brand new.
The stones were
clean. White, like clean, dude.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
We all know what that looks like. A dirty ass stone from like over from burnt cheese and sauce.
Oh my god. It's like a dark stone.
Yeah.
So the coupon had all that and they're asking an arm and a leg. So I was like, you know, most of the time gas ovens will always work. Like you shouldn't have any problem. And with gas ovens, you can always find good labor to repair, which is great. Cause like electricians are expensive, bro.
Right.
So gas would have been my third route. I didn't get to check out the coupon, but the coupon, yeah, have exhaust every route getting the oven you want. That doesn't work at all. Even the last second, go to your plan B. Check that out. If that doesn't work at all, go to your plan C. But
plan
I mean,
B is to just lease it and take the debt off.
Plan A is to do whatever you can to get this oven. Mm. Your ideal oven. Lease. Find it for a cheap price. Let's say you're in Florida and someone posts this Pizza Master for 10K in Vegas. Hey, looks like we're going to Vegas. If you have the 10K, right?
Yeah.
You don't get approved for a leasing. You can't find any oven for sale. What's your plan B? Different type of oven. Cheaper oven, maybe? Because if I didn't get this oven, we were going to have to get a Baker's Pride. And I was going to save up to get this. That was going to be... The ultimate goal is plan A.
Yeah.
Got it.
It's plan A. If we don't get plan, if we can't get to plan A, and we have to do plan C, then we work our steps to go back to plan A.
That makes sense.
He's giving really good advice while holding some.
Dude, I'm hoping I'm asking good questions while I have pizza in my mouth.
I know. This is when you ask me a question. What does life mean after buying my cross?
Taking risks. That's what's up, though. That's really. I'm glad it worked out. I'm glad it fit in your space.
Man. Dude. Yeah. This was months and months. And then when we got here, I'm like, I looked at my uncle, I'm like, dude, we didn't even measure these things.
So yeah, if you're looking to buy a secondhand oven, make sure it fits.
Measure it, bro.
Figure out how you're going to get it off the truck and not just like borrow someone's forklift. Yeah.
And what's crazy was Plan C would have costed more expensive. The like I told you, if we got a bigger Sprite, that's not due. Yeah. And how heavy, those things aren't on casters. They don't put gas ovens on wheels.
Yeah.
You have to, dude, we had to knock
about
the
whole, that.
No, I've never seen a gas oven on wheels. Hmm. And they're like freaking so heavy.
Just do a lot of research.
He was like, just every day.
Every day.
She'd be like, what are you doing? I'm like, I'm on Facebook Marketplace. 30 minutes later, what are you doing? I'm on Craigslist. What are you doing? I'm on eBay. Dude,
just
out
read.
Every day.
Yeah.
Reading, looking, reading, classifieds, reading, looking. I would even like go on Marketplace and Craigslist, and I'll look in Vegas. I'll look in Oregon.
I was going to say, how
I'll
do you do that?
Seattle.
How do you do that with other states and cities? You just...
Oh, there's a map section on your phone. Where's my phone?
But you can't just search all the Craigslist, right?
No,
like
just
you can
eBay.
Because eBay, you can search everything.
It's just, doesn't matter where it comes from.
Yeah.
It'll bring up the listing. But you already know eBay is going to be slightly expensive.
Mm-hmm.
And with buying on eBay, you can't go and look at the oven. That was one thing.
Hey, you can tell the crust if you like.
I'm eating it slowly.
Yeah, I threw mine away. It was cool.
Yeah, we can't. The main thing was that if I bought used, I have to go and see it. It being in the pizzeria already is a big plus. So if like,
mm-hmm.
Cause you can see it
working. Yeah, if I'm selling this, I'm like, yeah, come to my shop. I'm using it. That's, oh man, you can't get any better than that.
Right.
I can literally make the pie on it. And
they're
that's
it's
a
still
guaranteed
making money.
Sell.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's still making money. Yeah.
But it's like, oh, I have it sitting in my warehouse. Yeah. Be a little bit skeptical. Like I was.
It was all in the beginning. And now
it's
just more on the
dope.
Yeah, the marketing is now we start to see the marketing take place, that it's really heavy. It's really, before it felt like pizza operation getting set up, now in this marketing, now it's been like this.
What do you mean, like spending more time and money on marketing?
More energy.
Yeah, because since everything that I post is, like what we said, it was someone else's pie. So sometimes I'm late posting, you know, I post at like 10 a.m. sometimes, sometimes like 2, because I don't have the time, so I juggle everything. So when he's making something, I take lots and lots of photos, and then I just save it for the next day and all that, post it, stories, an actual post, a reel.
We notice it's like keeping a present, like if you post like once a week, it's not good for you. In my opinion, it's like we've noticed with our consistent posts that we get engagement. So because we post a lot, people are bound to message us. People are bound to comment, interact with us. Because that's what you want to see, is people not just view your stuff, but they comment on our posts, they message us.
I think something that's repetitive, I think that's what they like to see. You know, the more you see it, the more they'll respond to it.
So the consistency on posting really does matter.
Yeah.
And then one thing we noticed by consistency is what's more important to you. What's also important is the time you post. So like, she posted at, one time you posted at, she posted at 5 p.m. one time. And we've never had a story get viewed that much, like 600 views. I guess everyone got off work, is on their phone.
That's little compared to.
No.
Oh, no, I mean,
no, not at all.
Well, I mean, we normally average like.
I don't get engagement like that on stories.
No, it's that one time we post at 5, so we post a lot at 5. We post a lot at 5 or around lunchtime. More likely
before
a time,
lunch.
Yeah.
Before lunch and after people get off from work.
No one will really get it. Even in the next morning, no one will really get it.
That's
or
right.
People when they're on their phones, like around 9.
Yeah.
That's the best time.
9.
Figuring
lunch.
Out people's like behavioral patterns, right?
Dude.
Maybe 8 a.m. and they're taking a shit.
Yeah, exactly.
Like,
yeah, that's why.
Yeah.
I'm like, these 60 people were all on the toilet.
60 in the morning. Yeah, and it's all about rawness. You know, we don't edit
them.
Yeah,
we're super honest.
Everything is—it's just the light that we have up there.
Good light.
That's it. But
yeah, like I said before too, like all the photos that you see—that's someone's order. All the photos on our Instagram, those are orders.
Mm-hmm.
They're not like
our pie,
the one that we made for lunch.
Yeah.
It's, we're not making a pie and like putting it in the light. I mean, nothing wrong with it. It really depends.
Mm-hmm.
But because we're like a mom and pop, we want to have that like. We
intimate
had
to, still, you know?
Yeah, we tried to meet the line of like professionalism and personal.
Yeah.
Yeah, like a little bit of both.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I respect that.
Yeah.
That's our, it's been working.
I mean, this shop was like hand-built by you two and a family member.
Yep.
And it looks professional as fuck. So
does
it's
it?
Like
that's her retail, and that's her retail background.
Yeah, but like you said, you know, you're towing the line of like relaxed and professional at the same time.
One of the things pizza makers spend the most money on is cheese. Every time I have a catering event, cheese is my biggest ingredient cost. But what if I told you there's a cheese company out there that lets you earn cash back for every pound of cheese purchased? I'm talking about Baggio Cheese. And their Gold Club Rewards members receive their rewards card every month that can be used wherever Visa is accepted. So the more cheese you buy, the more you can earn. Literally, you get paid to use Baggio Cheese. Now that is cool. Learn more at Baggio Cheese using the link in the show notes. Let's talk about pan pizzas for a quick second. What are you using to press out your dough? I found out that whatever fat you use greatly affects the flavor of your pizza. And that is why the only brand I trust with my pizza is Cordo Olive Oil. Taste is everything, and other brands and other fats pale in comparison. Do you want to taste the difference? Go to cordo-olive.com using the link in the show notes. You can purchase a bottle there, or if you're an operator, you can get a free tasting. Just message me and I'll connect you with them. I'll leave my contact in the show notes. Thank you, Cordo Olive Oil, for sponsoring the podcast.
We didn't have an experience, you know, so we were so new. And when he contacted the landlords, they go, hey, you know, let's have a meeting and see what you have. And
they like the idea of a pizza.
Yeah, we just went in there and he was just like, you know, we're just being real and just being really genuine. And it wasn't like we weren't really detailed into
we stressed so much about a presentation, like a booklet, and then he just like opened it and then he closed it and he's like, okay, so tell me more about this. I'm like, oh shoot, he wants to just know about us.
Yeah,
he's just like,
he took a chance.
He wasn't asking anything about it, like about numbers or anything. He's just looking at it. Didn't look at it that much. Maybe we're stressing about that. We're like, let's do a presentation, PowerPoint, this and that. He skimmed through it and he closed it and then he's just like, so pizza. I was like, we were so thrown off. You know, these are like business guys. We're like,
Did he come off that way?
Like, yeah. And they want to know about us, our background.
Yeah.
What are...
Why pizza?
That's very interesting.
What kind of pizza we're going to sell.
Did you actually make a pizza for him?
We did later. We got approved already.
So we had the meeting in the morning. And then we went home. You know, we're like, we're good to go. And then we had a phone call from him, right?
We had a phone call. Yeah.
He said that, you know, we need a place.
We'll get it.
Yeah.
They'll sign our lease. And then I dropped pizzas the following week. And then they were like, oh my God. This is out of the gut. I was still making them out of the Gosney.
Yeah.
So they're like, oh my God, this is so good. And then one of our regulars, she doesn't work there anymore. She works at the lab now, but she comes all the time. She was the one that helped us. She was in our meeting.
Yeah. I think it's just so amazing that these people, you know, who are willing to take risks on us.
For sure. Yeah, they didn't have to, man. We have no experience. Like, this is a prime spot for anyone in Livermore wanting to open a restaurant. There's a lot of people more ready than us.
Yeah.
And, yeah, man, I don't know. It just worked in our
But it's
favor.
Not like they gave you a discount or anything.
No. They just went with us.
It's more so like they could have chosen anybody.
They could have chosen anyone, man.
They could have chosen someone with more of a track record where their like risk wouldn't be as like high.
Yep.
And mind you, I sat on this listing for like 5 months.
Yeah.
But when I originally applied, I said pizza. And then all the other spaces weren't good for us.
Yeah.
And so around like 5 months later, I was like, okay, let me see if this place is still available. Because I didn't see the listing. And then that's what's crazy too. Was because I followed up. I was like, hey, so-and-so, is this place still available? And she's like, hey, I remember you. No, but if you were serious, the landlords still want a pizza place. I was like, what do you mean? She's like, there's actually a deal in the works already. But they still really loved the idea of a pizza place. I was like, okay. So then we went to the drawing board. I said, if we really go through this, this is what we want, because, you know, we don't want to waste anyone's time, so.
So we were kind of like second in line, right? There was another business that was looking
that
at
wanted
this.
But they weren't fully sold on it, the concept.
Yeah.
their concept, whatever.
The,
that
yeah,
was.
Yeah, whoever they were with, going with. But.
So when they called them, and everything just fell into place, you know.
Yeah, dude. From there.
Are there any other pizzerias around in like within driving distance?
There's one in the commercial kitchen down there.
Yes.
Yeah, like when you get a commercial kitchen, you can't.
Yeah.
Yeah, you gotta just gotta use what's there.
Yeah.
But.
I've always wondered about that. Like, could you use their equipment and also like
make a good pie?
No, and also bring like an Uni Volt and plug it in to like finish. You know what I mean?
It depends on the space, because that's weird. The one there is a little bit weird. Like, I think it was originally a retail office, and they converted it, but not fully.
So there's.
It's just different kinds of commercial.
Yeah, because we went to one in San Jose, and it's like a
yes.
apartment.
Cloud kitchen.
Yeah. Cloud Kitchens, and you, it's like a building, and they all have tenants, and you open it. So like, if this was your tenant, your unit, you open it, and then it's like, it's just like a little studio with the hood.
Did you consider that? Is that why you guys went there?
Yeah.
We did.
Why
we
didn't
did.
You take it?
That was hard, because like our original, the heart of our idea was to be a mom and pop place. We wanted to be a neighborhood joint. So going to Cloud Kitchen was like completely different demographic and
yeah.
completely different service style.
Yeah.
And I just feel like for me personally, no one, it's hard because there's great businesses out there. But for me personally, I don't remember a Cloud Kitchen unless it was really great.
Yeah.
Interesting.
I think we kind of want to have that personal touch.
Sure.
With, you know, talking to our customers.
Yeah, that too.
And,
yeah.
You know.
Versus a DoorDash driver.
Yeah.
Yes, dude.
Exactly.
Because, like, if all you know about us is through an app, that's hard. For me, that's hard.
And I think partly, I feel like from where we started to now, how we've grown is because we've, you know, encountered, you know, we've talked to them every
yeah.
day.
Made connections.
So, making connections. So
yeah, so
that's part of it.
Basically, our goals didn't align with the Cloud Kitchen.
For sure.
Yeah, I guess that's a great way to say
yeah.
it.
Yeah. And then after the Cloud Kitchen, it was a food truck, right?
We thought about doing a food truck. And then I jumped the gun. I bought two Gosneys. I bought the Estrella Spiral Mixer. I'm like, it's perfect. And then I'm making our pies, and they're crispy bake.
Yeah.
And you think... You said your turnover is bad in a uni? You're making Neapolitan, or...?
I would say... I think it's just bad when you're doing, like, a lot.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's more... It would be
it's
Neapolitan
quick bake, right?
And pan.
Okay, so my Gosney bakes for 7 minutes. Imagine baking a pie in the Gosney for one pie. And I get a line of people, and I'm like...
Yeah. It's not going to work.
It's
yeah.
not going to work, dude, because I want a crispy bake.
Yeah.
And then I would have to wait, like, 15 minutes. So
yeah.
I'll do a pie... So what I did for the Gosney was, there's a hack to get it on the low setting.
Yeah.
So I'm blasting it, and then when I'm ready to bake, I'll make it on a screen, put it on the low setting, throw it in for like a couple minutes, crank it up to the medium at 4 minutes, and I'll take out the screen and bake, and I get a really crispy bake.
Yeah.
That was like a 7-minute process.
Yeah.
And
I think it's important to just figure out what you want, right?
Yeah,
That's what you guys did.
Because she asked me, she's like, will it work? How are you going to do it? And I'm like...
And I think just building the truck itself was
more expensive
because this was already ready, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So everything aligned with, you know, this place having the hood and all the, you know, all the sinks and everything.
Yeah.
So.
But the downside is it's more costly on a monthly basis.
Yeah.
Than a truck.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
You said earlier it was like 3-something a square foot.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then the downside to the truck was like I can't turn over pizzas as quick because
yes.
it's a Gosney.
Yeah.
We're spending all this money. I can't turn over pizzas as quick. And then I feel like it's hard. For us, when someone really loves a place, you know where to go. So, like, it was
yeah.
hard.
Food
it was, yeah, it was hard for me to be
you
like...
chase
yeah.
them everywhere.
Yeah.
Where are they at on Twitter?
Yeah.
Right? Like, back in the old school days.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I mean, there's great trucks out there. And we go to a truck all the time.
Yeah.
But I think for our business, the goals was, like, I didn't want that for our customer.
For sure.
Like, oh, we're over here.
Yeah.
Then that means you're, like, you're only through one platform.
Yeah.
And the people that are like, I heard about you, where are you? And then you lose customers,
yeah.
right? It's like...
You're chasing.
So it's whatever works for you.
For
you know?
Sure.
Why
did you all consider the Cloud Kitchen to begin with? Like, if someone's looking at that, like, what's the benefit?
Oh, the price, dude.
Yeah? What's the price for that?
Oh, man. So
remember.
It was like, oh, it was a great thing, actually. So, like, if you have a good concept, it's great. Like, I think all in all, it was $21,000. That's to get the space, no equipment in it, but all you have to do is put your fridge. It's like licensed already.
Yeah.
So all you got to do has a gas hookup. Put
when
everything
you say
21K in
like that, that's your built out.
21K, that's the sign up fee. You just put your stuff in. It's yours. I forgot for how long. And then you, there's a monthly fee after that.
What's a monthly fee?
I don't remember that one. But it's 21K to get in the door. They plan your menu. They launch you on their app and they do all your marketing. And they that's the one thing. They do all the marketing for you. So that's good. Like, it really depends on your concept.
Yeah.
That's a great start, though. The Cloud Kitchens was really good.
Yeah, for short term.
And a benefit for the food truck when you all are considering it? Because we're talking about the downsides. I want to see both.
Like you said, the low cost, so we didn't have the high overhead.
What was the build-out cost for that, though?
A good one?
Yeah.
100K, was it?
120.
120, 120.
I feel like 100K was pushing 120. It, too. It was, like, kind of steep.
Yeah.
I didn't want a shortcut.
Okay, okay. And then, but then after that big investment, it's like,
and then like I told you, the turnover was going to be really small, so it's going to take long to make money back.
Yeah.
Because we're
because
can't crank out pies as hot as
because investment
is
so high up front.
Yeah.
Okay.
And we get a line, and in summer, no one wants to wait outside. It's like man,
no.
It's like
yeah.
a bunch of things.
In this area, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then you got to, and then with the truck, you still got to rent a commissary kitchen. So
right.
I got to rent a space to make my dough.
Yeah.
And I was like, this is too much. Like.
Wow.
Zigzagging for me.
That's a lot of money.
Yeah.
So you just wanted it like in one place.
Well,
yeah.
We're already complaining about the steps you have to take here. Imagine
well,
being in the multiple locations.
I mean, it's better if you do like, if you're doing tacos, because you can do everything in the truck. That's great. Because there's a truck in our, like, a few streets down.
They don't need a commissary?
No, they, well, I see them. I see them late. They're prepping in there.
Yeah.
So I'm like, that's fine. But you know, you can't make dough in a truck. You need power.
True.
You need a mixer.
Yeah.
That's the one thing. So I'm like, because I could do everything in the truck. It's just mixing dough and balling. And then where does this go in the truck? Like.
No, you can only have
all
have
the
so
dough
much.
Bins. Yeah.
I think you could, if I'm not mistaken, you can do some prep, but most of your like, there are certain things you have to cook in the commissary.
Yeah.
Right.
That makes sense.
Whether you're following those, and that's only for Santa Clara County. I don't know what it is for Alameda.
Yeah.
Might be similar.
Yeah.
But people serving food, they need tools, and you can't have all your tools in the truck.
Yeah,
exactly.
Most of the time.
Yeah. So, and I think we spent less. I would think here opening this than,
Yeah, we spent way less with this place. Like, and at least with this, the turnover is quick, and we can get key pieces. The Pizza Master.
Yeah.
I can get the mixer I want, and this.
Yeah, like this mixer right here. Good luck fitting that in a truck.
No, seriously. And these stay with us. You know, these are all like.
Yeah.
I mean,
you own that.
Yeah, we own these. Except for the. We're paying the fridge.
The
fridge,
right.
I'm halfway
there. Almost there.
I'm like 1 foot in, but.
There you go.
The oven's ours. The oven's paid off.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's tight.
So that's like the best thing, you know? Just paying off a little bit and then everything else is ours.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So these shelves and the sinks, they were already here?
The sinks,
yeah.
And the hood, that's it.
Got basically, you. It was empty. The only thing that was here was the sink and the hood.
Yeah,
everything
yeah.
else is...
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
the hoods are expensive.
We bought this off the
Italian restaurant that was here.
Yeah,
before.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Oh, the hoods. We got a quote from this because we like this place. It was only like 600 square feet. I'm like, perfect for me. Slice shop. And the guy was like, 40K.
For a hood.
Just to put it in. Like, that's not the... He's like, it's going to cost another 40 for the electricals.
Mm-hmm.
Cause you know, like, yeah, the one that there's a sensor.
Yeah.
I guess that if there's a fire sensor that when they hit this,
yeah.
sends a signal to the, he was telling me, to the fire department.
Then you're going
to
do the plumbing.
And the sprinklers. He's like, the sprinklers, that's another like 10 something K.
That's scary.
I'm like, that's dumb.
that's dumb.
That's
dumb.
That seems unfair.
For us.
Like, this is
no,
not...
seriously. I was like.
No, cause it was an office space. It wasn't built.
It was office space, yeah.
No, but like,
yeah.
I interviewed somebody by the name of Christina Martin at Manitza's Pizza in Vegas. She was like, "See my hood over there? That's my Tesla." Like no joke. Like that's.
Oh yes,
true.
I saw this one.
Yeah,
she's
not playing. Like that's
yeah.
how much it costs. And, like, that's crazy.
Sometimes
she was the one
really
talking
lucky.
About going out there and getting her like
yeah.
like throwing her coupons, putting
her flyers
out there.
Yeah,
that's
exactly
that was
what
a good
I was
one.
Saying,
yeah.
When,
that was a good
when
one.
We were talking about it.
Yeah, that was a good. That was a really good.
We got really lucky with the hood. Honestly,
yeah, that's expensive.
It's rarefied.
What's your total square footage?
1346. It's and 60% of it is that front dining space, dude. So,
yeah.
And then another like 10% is the bathroom. So what I'm left with is back here. But hey, I told her. I said all we need is a shot. Just get us in that door, man.
For
yeah.
sure.
Yeah.
It's like So the space that I was looking at near my house, like I could walk across the street, and I would love that if I were open to it, right? It was way too big. Five K square feet, that three something.
5,000
Dude.
Bro, that's like Buffalo Wild Wings. Yeah, probably, dude.
It was a Baja Fresh before.
Dude, that's
and
big.
then a Filipino Chinese couple took over it. They built it out. It looks beautiful inside. They were there for 8 months.
Oh.
Can you believe that? 8 months. Damn. They fizzled out. That's fucked.
That's a lot of
That was one thing we took too. You know what? It's the permitting. That's one thing was like, that's what made me mad. It's like, there's so many entrepreneurs out there, right?
Yep.
But why is it so hard for people to start their dreams? Why is it so hard, right? Like things like this, we got really lucky. It's a fate of luck for us.
Yep.
The timing, I mean, we were really pushing it 2022, sorry. And it wasn't working, but it happened for us when it did. But I'm like, man, why is it so difficult for people to just start something, you know?
But thinking about, like, all the hardships now that we go through, like, just chasing, you know, sales and good dough and all that, thinking about in the very beginning, it was harder to get in.
It was harder to get in, man.
Like,
fees.
We got the place, but now we got to think about the permits and all of, you know, business license and everything, and then getting inspections and doing interiors. So
you know,
everything
that
was just
used to work at Santa Clara, and it was a 600 square foot or 800 square foot, and the dude spent like my boss spent like about 400 million, 400,000, sorry. So if you're telling me
brand new build out
that those the owners renovated that 5,000 square foot one, dude, that's a million. And they were only open for 8 months. Do you know how long they were there renovating?
I want to say at least 6.
Oh my God, dude, that breaks my heart, dude.
Dude, I know. And
breaks my heart.
You know, it's, I was mad when I saw, no, it's okay. I was mad when I saw them close, because it almost seemed like.
You never want to see that.
You don't want to see that, but it almost seemed irresponsible in a way. Like if you can't really, if you didn't give yourself a chance to take off, but you can't hold it down that long.
And there's nothing put in place to help you there. It's all like, you got to get open, it's a timeline. Oh, and then you're falling behind, get out, man, because there's someone else is going to make me money. It's like a lot of it, it's the greed aspect which makes me mad.
That's why a lot of entrepreneurs are so brave, you know?
Seriously.
So brave, because you're taking a risk every single day, every
that's
day.
So awesome.
And we're not programmed for this life, you know? Like,
no. It was locked.
It was locked. Oh, it wasn't locked all the way.
She really wanted that pizza.
Because I can smell it. We're not programmed for it. I was telling my wife, it's such a life, like personal and everything, such adjustment, because we're just so used to the 9-to-5. We're programmed for 9-to-5.
Oh, we're so programmed.
So programmed,
dude. Programmed to take direction in school.
They teach you from a young age. It's like, oh, what do you want to be when you grow up? No one says a business owner. No one says. It's always like, oh, you want to be a doctor?
Yeah.
You want to be a firefighter? Which is great. But no one ever sheds light on this. So, but for us, we've always wanted to do this, but we just didn't know. Like, our families both have like very entrepreneurial spirits, you know? And
that's
awesome. It's fell in line with us.
Yeah, and it's now it's just the two of us.
That's
making it every day.
That's so wild. The fact that it's just two of you running a 1,500 square foot shop.
Yeah. It's crazy.
Dude, people's reactions, like, it's just the two of you? Like, yeah.
No, it's super wild.
Like, they think we have someone come in at night to do them. Like, no, it's just us two, dude.
He's here at, like, 7 a.m., and then we close at 9. Sometimes it's out early, but, you know, he's here all day, every day. So,
yeah.
It's, I think, if you don't love it, they won't be able to do what you're doing. But, you know, but you love it. So, it's like, even though you're tired every day, you love it, you know?
I thought it was cooking I love, which I do love. But what I love even more is that when we handcrafted this product, right, and then when we give that box to someone, man, and I see them come in, they pre-order like a week in advance, dude, and they come in, they're like, oh, I'm so excited, they get their box, and I see them walk, I'm like, that's badass, dude, that's giving them that service. And then like when I see people eat it and they like
their reactions,
yeah, I'm like,
yeah,
from them is satisfying.
I never knew how much I loved that. Because I was always, as a cook or a chef, you're serving someone else's dish. And then usually it's like, if you're a chef and you make a special, people love that special.
Yeah.
That's so rewarding.
Yeah.
And for us to sell our pizza that we created and people received it the way we didn't know how they were going to receive it, and they freaking love it.
Yeah.
Dude.
Yeah.
Mind you, we only do 40 to 60, like, a day.
Yeah.
And then it's not a lot. And
is that on Friday and Saturday as well?
Yeah, mostly Friday and Saturdays.
Yeah.
Thursday to Sunday.
Thursday.
We're doing that.
Yeah.
And then Monday and Tuesdays can vary.
Stable.
But, I mean, mind you, we have a very small customer base.
Mm-hmm.
Last month, 45% of our customers are returning. 45%, dude, for a restaurant.
Each month.
Yeah. Our first month was like 35, which was like, well, that's kind of high.
That's pretty high, yeah. But
really
now,
high for all of our monthly sales.
You guys got support and love and a good product.
Yes.
Because they wouldn't come back if it sucked.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. And that's the thing, too, where it was hard for us in the Cloud Kitchens, because when they come here, they get to know our story, which is more of like,
very intimate.
Of a reason for them
yes.
to come back. Yeah, it's more intimate.
It's all the part of the experience.
I don't have a recurring DoorDash order.
Unless it's so bomb, dude. You're like,
yeah.
Ooh, like you don't
yeah.
get it anywhere else.
Yeah.
And you know they're on a come up. You know it's like a matter of time before that place gets its own
yes.
brick and mortar.
And
but
to be fair, like you're right. They have to be on the come up, because most of the time the people who who've already like made it, they don't put their stuff on DoorDash like that.
No.
Yes.
They're like usually see like the chains on DoorDash or people trying to make a name for themselves.
Mm-hmm.
But like if they got it good, they don't gotta like rely on
yep.
DoorDash as their main market.
Seriously,
yeah.
seriously. It's like, in the beginning, it's like a very gentle fire. If you run, it's going to blow out. You're like, it's, man, it's, and where you go, yeah, where you go and what you do with that little fire can grow into like a bonfire, or just gets put out quick.
Yeah,
we try to be very, very patient each day, you know?
It's so hard though
when
man.
Yeah.
When you have a monthly bill.
Oh, yeah. You got your personal and then the business bill put together in a whole month. It's crazy. But
that was the adjustment too.
Yeah.
Like, you know, when you're opening, it's so inspiring. So, sorry. When you're opening, it's so inspiring, right? You're like, the dough, I'm gonna dial in the recipe. Oh, we get a bad batch, make another one. And then when you start to feel all those real things about like bills, and it's like, you don't know how, like we're basically bootstrapping, dude, because we're just normal people. Me and my wife, we don't have like a crap load of investors. We have one angel investor whose family believed in us, but we didn't want a lot of hands in the cookie jar, draw funding from all these places, and then we're actually not working for ourselves. Like, what was the difference? So we're just normal with our investment and the way we purchase everything and how we're running it. We're just like normal people trying to make it, man.
So the idea was always to like have a brick and mortar, right?
Mm-hmm.
But like how long ago did that idea sprout, and how long were you guys like saving to make that happen? Because I assume like you had the angel investor, but you still had to put up your own.
Yeah.
We still have to put up some, yeah.
Yes.
How long have you guys been like sort of in that mode of saving? Because
a couple years.
2020.
Yeah.
2020 was like, you know, some of the worst years for some people, but
yeah.
We took advantage of that and just saved
everything
that we had. Like, it was.
Even at the end of the month, it's not that much because you got your rent. You know,
you
got. I mean, middle.
You gotta eat, right?
Yeah, you're on a fixed income. It's like, it's so hard, and you're planning years in advance. It's like.
But it's a lot of sacrifice.
Of
just like saving every dollar. Every dollar counts. Every dollar counts. So.
Even to get that, like the uni she bought me, man, we had to save. But I'm like, because originally I bought a stone from Target. Because I was making Polish at the time, making pies. I'm like, yeah, I can make a pretty good pizza out of a home oven, $5.50. I was doing that for a long time, and I'm like, I really want this uni. Only Ace Hardware and Walnut Creek had it at the time. And I was like, it's like $7.50. It's so expensive at the time. You know, it's just breaking ground.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I was like, I want this thing. Get a good pie out of it. And then saved up, and she got it for me for my birthday.
And I had to get it for him because I saw that he really wanted to start pizza again. And, you know, for him to do that, he needs an oven. So I got him that for his birthday.
For my birthday,
and that's what kickstarted it.
And then we got this guy right now. So, literally from a home oven to uni, to Agosni, to the Pizza Master. That's the baby steps.
In 3 years.
In 3 years,
years,
yeah.
Yeah.
We've been just cranking out pies through each thing.
Yeah.
How did you know what your number was when you said, like, I'm good, we can pour this money in into a business? Because I feel like there's levels to it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's that point where you're like, it's just a seed of a dream.
Yep.
And then you start to grow the seed a little bit, and you're like, shit, I think we're ready.
Yep.
Like, what does that look like?
What was the
like?
Fuel?
For me, it was our work just getting really tiring. It's gotten more tiring.
You'll
and
know
it really,
when it's for you,
yeah.
You know? Because when we were working back home, his background has always been kitchen, and mine has always been luxury retail back home. And
what store?
Balenciaga. And so
yeah,
you got shoes.
Balenciaga. I wanted. We can't afford it back home, dude. Minimum wage back home is like at the time was like $7.
Yeah.
What was your employee discount?
50.
Oh, she got a good one. But even with the 50, I'm like, I can't afford no Balenciaga shoes.
There.
Come on, man.
Balenciaga.
But now, yeah, when we moved here with the minimum wage here, I'm like, I could afford that 50%.
Yeah.
Not there anymore.
I passed by Valley Fair, and like the people who work at the stores, I used to love like being a little poser and like saving up all of my checks just so I could get an LV wallet.
Yeah.
I've had the same wallet for like 10, 12 years.
Damn.
But like, it was
good
just
quality.
Because I'm Filipino and that's
yeah.
what my mom was.
LV, yeah.
You know what I mean? And like,
LV's like the prestige.
Yeah,
yeah.
When I made like a extra $700 one time at the casinos, I bought my mom an LV bag.
Hey.
So like, I appreciated that lifestyle.
Yeah.
And so every time I walk by LV or whatever is at Valley Fair, I'd be like, they look like they have cool jobs. You know, like it's just like small clientele.
Yeah.
It's cool. I mean, it's cool to see all the products and everything, but. I think because I managed the store, so it's like I was seeing all the I was overseeing everything, so I wasn't really shopping.
Yeah, that's where we got to really share insights.
I mean, I did when I did the buying, but you know,
it's that's where we got to share insights with customers, because it's like I'm mostly food, all food. She's all retail.
Yeah.
So the way our customer service is like, you know, in food, it's like no, get out, you know, don't. We don't do that here. We don't have
it's
that attitude
casual,
here.
Casual, straightforward.
But in retail, you can't say no.
Luxury retail.
Yeah. If you're being like a freaking dick to someone, you gotta make commission, man. That's the sucky part about retail, and I didn't realize that till she would tell me. Because for me, it's like, hey, you're not gonna give me no attitude here, man. Leave. You know, for food.
Yes.
We're not like that. But like, if you're coming in here with like a crazy, like, super asshole, like, no, leave, dude. We don't do that. But retail's
and
hard.
It's so different for me, you know. And I did that for years, and I said, you know what, I can't do it. It's corporate, so I couldn't do it anymore. So when we decided to move here in 2020, I told him, I said, okay, I'll work retail for a while.
Same industry, luxury?
Same. Not as luxury. I worked at Longchamp. Not as luxury as Balenciaga.
Yeah.
It was just the closest mall.
You want to take this one for her real quick? I'm going to clean the shirt. I don't want to get you this.
It was the closest mall from where we live, which is Brentwood. And so I told him, I said, okay, I'll work for a little while. But, you know, being in corporate is so tough.
Corporate.
It's so corporate mentally.
Yeah.
Mentally, it's just like it crushes you, it destroys you.
Right.
It's a piece of your soul.
Yes, it does. And so since corporate, you know, you work 24/7 basically. And
it's little by little.
Little by little.
Because you don't realize, it takes so little of your soul, you don't realize until like per 10 years, like almost 10 years, you're like,
yeah.
How is this feeling?
Yeah.
Where the hell did the last 10 years go?
Yes.
Seriously,
yes.
Why do I feel like, this, like soulless, empty inside?
Yeah,
like,
it was so bad for me mentally. So
I just did that.
There's
like,
stories, he said, you know, I had the chance to do this when I was younger, but now it's too late. And that what if in your head is
oh
going to stay with you
God,
forever if you
yeah.
don't.
The fail doesn't look as bad when you put it that way. Because you're worried about what if I fail?
Yeah.
But regret is like...
But what if
oh
you don't,
man.
Right?
You never did it, dude.
Yeah.
That's...
You'll never know.
One of my favorite, like, influencer business gurus, Alex Hormozy, always talks about, like, what would my 80-year-old self tell me? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And he's going to be like, I wish you took the opportunity.
Yes.
I wish you took that jump.
Yes.
And like, I was just listening to him this morning, and he was like, he heard another quote from Tony Robbins who said, change is made when like it hurts more to stay the same
oh.
than the change.
Yeah.
So the back
yeah.
against the wall.
Damn, that's deep. It's tough in the beginning though, because it is scary. It's, oh my gosh.
It's not
a
flame of fire.
Yeah.
Yeah, now we're playing with the fire.
But, I mean, we had people, you know, who would support us. And my sister's here with us, his uncle. So, and we had each other. So that's really all you need to make things work.
Do you guys live with them?
My sister lives with me. His uncle lived with us for like, not every day. He would just be there to help out with the shop. But he lives with his brother and they drove.
He's not here anymore. It's just, he's the one that did all their work.
Yeah. Yeah. So these people are like what kickstarted everything. And that's all you need, really.
Well, yeah. Like for me, like I think it's cool to know that you have family you can like fall back on. Right. Because it's like, what's the worst that can happen? Are you really going to live on the streets? Probably not.
Yeah.
You have people who will take you in because you guys aren't assholes. I can tell.
Yeah.
Right? It's not like people hate you and you're like, oh, I'm never going to let them live with us.
Exactly. Exactly.
That was our main reason too. It's like, we're lucky to be where we're from in Milwaukee because we have focus on home. Worst comes to worst, our home's always there for us. But
for sure.
At least you tried.
Yeah.
You know?
And then, like, we had a conversation one night. It's like, you know, we made all this effort to move here, what, to do what we're doing back home on a different level. But it's like...
Yeah, that's what I told him in the beginning. I said, I'm not going to be doing the same thing I'm doing back home. And it's going to be... We moved here and changed everything about our lives just to do the same thing. Every day, it doesn't make sense.
Scale.
Yeah.
It's like, what did we move here for if we didn't?
And I told him in the beginning, I said, if it doesn't work, at least we're never going to have to ask ourselves the what if question.
Mm.
You know?
So once the excitement wore off, we realize we're just working, doing the same thing back home on a different, on a higher scale. It's like,
yeah. It's still scary every day.
It's still scary. Yeah.
It is, but we just got to be, we just got
to
believe.
Our 9 to 5 is at least like,
you just gotta believe, and you know, we love our customers, so.
And you gotta put in the hours that you guys put in.
Yes.
Just the two of you. I'm sure there's like a strain on the body.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sure there's like some stressful
on the knees
moments.
Right here.
Oh, bro, we sit for 5 minutes? Oh, shit. We get up, it's like, oh.
I shouldn't have done that.
Yeah. Once I sit.
My body's now aware. So, what else are the struggles of just being like the only two here?
Marriage, for sure. Drawing the line.
Yeah, I think in the beginning we were like, okay, you know, we're gonna
do
the
dirty
cleaning.
Okay. No,
the noise. Oh no, the noise is fine. ASMR, man.
ASMR.
Someone who's blasting is like, oh, shit.
We'll try to level it up.
But yeah, in the beginning, we were so excited, so we're like, okay. We'll work here and then we'll discuss stuff and we'll go home and we'll continue and all that. And it wasn't healthy. And we would just talk about the business all day, every day. And then so after a few months, it was like we were just coworkers. And that was like, you know, you recognize that. And then at the same time, you're like, okay, there's boundaries now that we have to take, that once we leave the shop, and when we go home, it's husband and wife.
Yeah, one thing I didn't realize that I do is like, because we're together all day.
Yes.
And we go home and then I'll just like watch TV. I didn't realize that until she's like.
Yes, there's no husband and wife time anymore.
Yeah.
So here I said.
You had coworker time earlier.
Yes.
Now he's having me time.
Yes.
Where's us time?
Yeah, so I was telling him, I said, when we're here at the shop, I'm still your boss, but on a different.
I'm just a dishwasher
at this point.
But I'm not your wife.
I'm
so
not your
you got to make that time up.
Yeah.
That's why, like, one guy came in and was like, how's the boss? And then but she asked her, meaning I'm the boss. I'm like, oh, fam, I'm not the boss.
You're sneaking to the one.
Yeah.
So when we're here, we're focused. So we're partners. So, you know, when he needs help, I go back here. We're not husband and wife, we're partners. And I think we've got accustomed to it. We're better at it now. So once we lock that door, we go home, cook food at like 11 p.m. just because you need that. You need that. Because
I'm literally like here all day being like every mood, like, oh, Joe's bad shit. Oh, fuck. And the book goes great. Yeah, let's go. And then, because she's seeing me all day, so I'm like thinking, oh, she's probably tired of me, but no. There's a time for us to be who we are here, and a completely different time to be who we are at home, which is
yeah,
which,
and it's
which she brought up.
Yeah, just recognizing that boundary is so important to run a business with just us two. Yeah, but little things matter, man. Like cooking together, eating together, talking at the end of the day. It's very little. Those little things are actually the ones that, you know, actually matter.
Final question for you guys. No right or wrong answer. What's good dough?
Man, this could go so. I always listen to your interview and I go, what route are they gonna go? Are they gonna talk about life or pizza?
No right or wrong answer, right?
No right or wrong answer. Take it any way you like.
Man, living in, appreciating the moment. This is a fun time. You know? Cameron the other day was like, we were cleaning, right? It's just us two. And she's like, we need to enjoy this. I'm like, what do you mean? She's like, one day we're not gonna be here. I'm like, shit.
One day we're going to have staff. One day we're going to have...
It's going to be theirs.
A full team and, you know, and this is actually the moment that it's just us two. This is the beginning of something. And I get chills every time I think about it, you know? It's like the beginning of something. This is the story that we're going to tell our kids and our whole family, you know, the next generation. So we're starting something really special.
Yeah, I guess it kind of...
You know, you got to really feel it.
I get consumed in it easily because you're here all day, so it feels like forever. And then when she said that, I was like, I can't imagine it all, you know?
Yeah.
It's weird. Like, that really took me back. Like, you're doing something every day, and then to think, like, oh, in a couple of years, you're not going to be, it's going to be a little bit different. Like,
and you're not going to get that moment back anymore.
Yeah, that moment's not the same.
Just you and the, you know, feeling of being new. You're not going to get that feeling anymore. So we have to take it in, even though it's hard.
Yeah, that's so what's fun. Good though.
That's what's good though.
Enjoying the moment, living in the moment.
Yeah, I haven't had to answer that good in quite some time. Yeah. I felt that shit, dude.
No, because, when she said that, I was like, and I looked around, I'm like.
Too. It was late. It was a long
tired,
day.
Dude.
I think it was like a Saturday, Friday,
yeah, Friday Saturday.
One of those. And everything was just, you know, everybody ate in, so floor was messy. The back was crazy.
We just finished cleaning. It was quiet and we were just walking, you know, getting ready to leave. And then she said that, just like, enjoy this because
this is it.
And I looked around and I'm like, oh shit, you know.
Yeah.
That's ridiculous. Yeah, no, you have to.
And then you think about a place that's like 10 years old. Mm-hmm. It's the same thing, like in that beginning.
Oh, for sure. J. Cole said it, dude. There's beauty in the struggle, ugliness in the success.
That's it, dude. That's it.
Dude, I can't think of a more beautiful struggle than a husband and wife team fucking
we're no different
doing this whole 1500 square foot greatness, just the two
12
of them
to 9 6
for
days
the last,
a week.
however, you said August? Since
August.
We got the place in June 1st, but we opened officially August.
Since June 1st. Fuck. Congratulations.
Thank you, man.
Thank you. It's a lot. So happy though.
Yeah.
You should be very proud.
So
this
happy.
Is fucking legit.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Well, there you have it. My episode with Cam and Joe Corner Slice. I appreciate you for listening and I hope you got a ton of value. Do me this quick favor. Let me know your thoughts. DM me at What's Good Dough and let's start the conversation. And while you're at it, check out Corner Slice. I'm going to link down their info in the show notes. Please reach out to them and let them know what's good dough. Also, we do a deep dive on their dough process and their pizza making. It is tight. You definitely got to check that out. It's on YouTube now as we speak. It's going to be linked in the show notes as well. I appreciate you. I love you. Till next time. Peace.